Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi barakatuh. Can all of you hear me? Is the voice okay? Okay. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد Can I ask one of you to message on both the groups? That class has started. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Surah Kahf was revealed first and foremost to the Sahaba Ikram. And the time of Sahaba was a time when there were people who were worshipping idols. The Mushrikeen, Kafir, idol worshippers. Today we are living in another time period where we have people who worship their nafs. And a person gives into the desire of their nafs, of their ego. Every person, they've made this goal, the nafs. And the desires of nafs to be fulfilled, whether they're in accordance with the Quran or not. So the Prophet ﷺ, he knew that in Qurb-e Qiyamah, there will be a time of nafs, and people will be giving in to the desires of their nafs. So that is why in this time that we are living in, reciting Surah Kahf will be very beneficial. Because the message of Surah Kahf is that instead of following a person's own nafs, Allah guides us in this surah that we should fulfill the commands of Allah and we should not attach our hearts to anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make preparation for Akhirah. So we completed last time the surah, the story of Zulkarnain, and today we will complete inshallah the last few ayat of this surah, and then after that I'm going to give you a khulasa, a nichod. I'm going to give you five key stories of Surah Kahf, and along with that, five key lessons, take-home lessons from Surah Kahf. Yani if someone hasn't been able to follow along with each and every session that we are doing in this Tafsir classroom, today will be a summary of all the sessions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in ayat number 102, Allah ta'ala says, أَفَحَسِبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَن يَتَّخِذُوا عِبَادِي مِن دُونِي أَوْلِيَاءَ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ نُزُولًا. That do the disbelievers think that they can take someone, one of my slaves, to take my slaves as patrons, as supporters, as guardians besides me? إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ نُزُولًا. That indeed, surely we have prepared Jahannam as an abode, as a reception for the disbelievers. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. This ayat of Surah Kahf, Allah Ta'ala is summing up all the stories in Surah Kahf. Before this, there were five different stories, and I'm going to come to them one by one. But here at the end of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to sum up the surah. And this is a very important ayah which is giving us a summary. And the way you can understand this is that sometimes when a person, they write the research paper, so you have an introduction and then you have the main body, the paragraphs, and you have the argument. And then at the end, you bring your conclusion, your summary, that this is what I've written. This is their take-home lesson. Or another example is like a speaker was making a speech, giving a speech, and then in that speech, let's say he mentioned certain ayat of Quran and then hadith and then stories of the Sahaba. And then when he comes to the conclusion, the ending, he's trying to apni baat ko samet raha hota, he's trying to complete his speech. And Allah Ta'ala also in the same manner, after mentioning five stories in Surah Kahf, and the last story being the story of Zulkarnain, so now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the nuchur of these waqiyat, the summary, the essence of these waqiyat. And there are going to be three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to mention in these final ayat of Surah Kahf. First, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a person, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. That shall we tell you about the greatest losers in respect of their deeds? That shall we tell you, shall we inform you of those who are the worst losers in terms of their deeds? These are those alladhina dhalla sa'yuhum fil hayati dunya. These are the ones whose efforts in this worldly life has gone in vain. These are the people who have spent their whole life making dunya their be-all and their end-all. People who attach their hearts to the dunya. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning. The first thing is that those people who completely made dunya their be-all, their dunya their objective, their maqsood of their life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these are the people who are the greatest of losers. Yani dunya daron ki muzammat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that those who attach their hearts to their dunya, they are going to be bearing the greatest loss in terms of loss of amal. Those who were completely preoccupied hayate dunya, yani from morning to night they were concerned about the dunya. From morning to night, they were worried about their dunya. their mamulat, their kaam, they were just all about making dunya. And in their days and in their nights, there was no sign of akhirah. There was no nishan of akhirah. When they would make their programs were all about this dunya, about their business, about their factory, about their buildings. When they were setting their targets, year-end target, their targets were all about the dunya. And they had no target for the deen. They had no target for, let's say, tilawat-e-Quran, that this is how much I should recite every day, or this many salah every day, or this much istighfar, or this much durood. Their programs were all about the dunya. Their targets were all about the dunya. And if you look at their life, it would seem as if their only concern, their sole concern is also about the dunya. And that's what they're thinking, that how can we fix our worldly life? Yani, it seems that these people have made this the maqsad e zindagi. And whoever then fulfills this maqsad, whoever can get their programs and their targets of the dunya, then such people become happy. Allah is speaking about such people. Alladhina dhalla sa'yuhum fil hayati dunya. The people who made all their sa'i. You have this word sa'i. All their efforts, their bhagna, their dorna, their efforts, their sweat, their energies, their thinking. All of that was fir hayati dunya, was about this worldly life. Wahum yahsabuna annahum yuhsinuna sun'a. And while they were making all of their efforts and their hard work, all the while they were thinking that they're doing something which is well. All the while, وَخُشْ gumante, they were thinking that they're carrying out good deeds. Yani, they were earned, yani, about such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they are the ones who, they are the ones who will be the greatest of losers, because they did not pay heed to akhirah. They did not do any amal for the akhirah. They forgot the akhirah. So when their eyes will close in this world, the moment their eyes will shut, whatever they had, everything will be gone. So they can enjoy these temporary benefits of this world for as long as they're living. But the moment their eyes will become shut, that is when they will realize what a great loss they will be in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that the greatest of losers in respect of their deeds, the greatest of losers, khasara, and will be that person who has made their dunya, who gave their heart to the dunya, and they forgot about their akhirah, made dunya the be all and end all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who are these people? Ulaika alladhina, Allah ta'ala describes them further. Ulaika alladhina kafaru bi ayati rabbihim. They are the ones who rejected the signs of their Lord, وَلِقَائِهِ, and they also rejected meeting their Lord. They were not interested in meeting Allah. They were not interested in pleasing Allah, not interested in having the didar of Allah. فَحَبِتَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. And then as a result, so their deeds are wasted away. All their actions are wasted away. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. And on the day of judgment, their actions will be no weight that will be attached to them on the day of judgment. Whatever, they will have no weight on that day. And the Prophet ﷺ in one hadith explained this, that there will be many people who would appear quite healthy and plumb on the day of judgment, but they will not even weigh as much as the wing of a mosquito in Allah's nazar. In the eyes of Allah, they will have no worth. And this is easy to understand today, because you have this equation, W equals to MG. And all of us know this, W equals to MG. So they have mass, but if their gravitational force is zero, then you know weight equals to wazan, mass times gravity. So here also, the weight here is the wazan of the amal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had the amal, but the gravity was not there. The force of their iman was not there. They were people who disbelieved. And because of having zero iman, mass times zero, their amal will be zero. And you multiply anything with zero, it becomes zero. So there is a difference between mass and weight. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here that it's not their actions, their weight will be looked at. And their weight would come because of their iman. But these people who did not have iman, because of this lack of iman, all their deeds will be wasted away. And their amal will be weightless on that day. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example that their actions of those who disbelieve in the Lord will be like ashes. It'll be like ashes that are blown away by a wind on a stormy day. and they will have absolutely no control over what they earn, and there will be people who will be in a state of loss on that day. And on the other hand, we can also think that for then the believers who might do any amal with ikhlas, with sincerity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even one amal which a person does believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with ikhlas, then this amal which are done with ikhlas, small amal, maybe their mass is very small. Maybe the amal zahiran in terms of its appearance is very small, but if it's done with a lot of ikhlas and sincerity and purity, it can totally tilt the scales in our favor. And that's something which the believers will experience on that day. There will be many good deeds that they will bring. They would have forgotten about those good deeds, and they would think that these are very insignificant and very trivial. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make mention of those good deeds and say that those good deeds that you did it khalis and out of my sake. There was no ostentation, there was no riya, there was complete purity and sincerity in that deed. And because of that amal, my mercy will be over you, and I've decided to forgive all your sins, and Allah will make that person enter into Jannah. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, Zalika. So these were people kafru bi ayati rabbihim, right? So these were people who did mockery of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They denied the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, you can link this, that, O Jews of Medina, you were teaching the mushrikeen what questions to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that I'm answering those questions, and you're still disbelieving in me, right? You're making a mockery of this, making a mockery of my ayat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about such people, ذَلِكَ جَزَاءُهُمْ, that this is going to be their punishment, this is going to be their badla, their compensation. What is the badla? Jahannama. Jahannam will be their compensation, their jaza for them. Why will this be a jaza for them? Bima kafaru, for they disbelieved in Allah, for they disbelieved in the message of Allah, for they disbelieved in the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِ, and number two, they took our ayat, وَرُسُلِي هُزُوَا, and they made my signs, my ayat, and my messengers a mockery. Unko bahut halka samjha, unka mazak udaya. They made a mockery of my ayat, they made a mockery of my Nabi. And we can also, so this is the ayat which is initially addressed to the Jews of Medina, and this is addressed to the mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarrama. But we can also think about this ayah in our current context. Sometimes, you know, we as Muslims, we also make a mockery of the ayat of the Quran. We also make a mockery of the sunnah of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? We can look at this in our context, that sometimes we demean the sunnah, we devalue the sunnah, we mock the sunnah, we say that sunnah hi to hai, that farz to nahi hai, sunnat hi to hai. So we must be very careful about such sentences, not to make a mockery of the sunnah. Right? Ye waqi sunnat hai, waqi bahut azim hai. This sunnah is a very azim thing. This was the actions of the Prophet ﷺ, and the fact that we are not able to do it, that's another issue. And we can make dua to Allah to grant us the strength to be able to follow the way that is pleasing to Him, to be able to do ittaba of the sunnah, but not, we must be very careful not to make a mockery of the sunnah or mockery of the Quran, or demean the sunnah or the Quran, or devalue or discredit the Quran and the sunnah. Right? We also in our zaman have our own ways of mockery. So we should remember these ayat, that these ayat are speaking to the Jews, but also they have a general lesson which applies to each and every one of us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those who are the opposite. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And as for those people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, آمَنُوا means believe the way Allah wants them to believe. So they believe in Allah in the way Allah wants them to believe, i.e. they believe in the Quran and they believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have a complete belief. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they also do righteous deeds. They also do good deeds. Then for such people, كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُولًا, then for them, the gardens of Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, will be the reception. Jannatul Firdaus will be their entertainment. This word Nuzula in Arabic actually means reception. And a reception, like you understand that some when you have a dawat or a gathering, so initially there is a reception. And the reception, they give you a drink or they give you some appetizers. The waiters come and they serve you some cocktail and you drink and enjoy. And you know that the main course is coming later. the khana is going to come later, the meetha is going to come later, the main gathering will start later. Abhita is just a reception. So for such people who have iman and those people who have righteous deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the reception is going to be Jannatul Firdaus. That for them, Jannatul Firdaus will be the reception, their start, their beginning. So one can only imagine what will be their main course, what will be their life that they will be living forever in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. This word Jannatul Firdaus, the Prophet ﷺ said, is the highest level of Jannah. And this is that Jannatul Firdaus, which is below the above this Jannatul Firdaus lies the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lies the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the four rivers of Jannah, they have their sources in Jannatul Firdaus. They gush forth from Jannatul Firdaus, the river of pure water, of milk, of honey, and of that alcohol which does not intoxicate. So this is the highest rank of Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ has told us that whenever you make dua for Jannah, always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannatul Firdaus. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-Jannatul Firdausi bi ghayri hisab. That, oh Allah, I ask you Jannatul Firdaus without any hisab kitab, without any questioning or reckoning. And Allah says, khalidina fiha. They will dwell therein, they will abide in these gardens in Jannatul Firdaus forever. La yabghuna anha hivala, and they will never want to leave it. They will never want to, they will not wish to move out from there. They will have no desire to move away from that place. They will have all whatever desires they have, every desire will be fulfilled in this Jannatul Firdaus. This will be a place, an abode where they will be living eternally forever and forever. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings out the second nuchur, the second lesson, the second ending lesson here, that kul law kana al-bahru midadan li kalimati rabbi, that say, O my beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here Allah ta'ala begins his tarif. Allah ta'ala mentions this, that Allah is the being who's worthy of our praise. Allah is worthy of all praise. Allah's sifat are amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kamalat are amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's perfection is so amazing. Allah says, O my beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to the people, لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي, that if the oceans were to become ink for writing the words of my Lord, for writing the sifat of my Lord, for writing the excellences of my Lord, for writing the favors of my Lord, for writing the perfections of my Lord, the kamalat and inamat of my Lord, لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي, then all the oceans would have been consumed, all the oceans would finish, all the oceans would be depleted before the words of my Lord can end. وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا, even though you can bring another set of oceans, another five oceans or seven oceans like that, in addition to that, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalimat, Allah ta'ala's attributes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat, they will never end. There's no person, human beings cannot praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no human individual who can praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as is the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, used to say, Ma abadna ka haqqa ibadatik, that Allah, I have not been able to worship you as if is your haqq. Ma arafna ka haqqa ma'rafatik, and I have not been able to recognize you, to know you as is your right over me. And no human being, the Prophet ﷺ himself, was not able to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like is the maqam, the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala is telling us, Allah ta'ala is teaching us here about Allah is that being, Allah is mentioning his attributes, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-azim, he's al-rahim, his husn, his jamal, ki hum tarifon ka haq ada kar hi nahi sakte. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning his husn and jamal and his grandeur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions second thing about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That, O my beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say that surely I am also nothing but a human being like you. I am a human being like you. The only difference is that a revelation comes to me. Wahi comes to me from my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the Lord. Yuha ilayya annama ilahukum ilahun wahid, and the revelation that comes to me is that your Lord, that your deity is no one but one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, the second thing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing, the second lesson, that Allah is doing tarif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning his attributes, his azmat, his husn, his jamal, his grandeur, that Allah ta'ala's sifat are so amazing, they're so breathtaking, that human beings, they cannot praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tarifon ka haq ada nahi kar sakte. And then, after mentioning his husn and jamal, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if a person feels in their heart that I also want to meet that Allah, if their yearning develops in their heart, they also have a desire that Allah is so beautiful, Allah is so azim, He's so perfect. I also want to meet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I also want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says that those who want to meet me, those who want to meet such a Khaliq, those who want to meet such a beautiful Lord, those who want to meet such a beloved Lord, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a way. Allah ta'ala gives a practical method of how you can meet such a beloved Lord. And that is the last ayat of this Quran, which is the nuchur, the lubbe lubab, the essence, the summary of this surah. Allah says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. So the one who hopes to meet his Lord, anyone who has a desire to meet Allah, who has a yearning to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who wants to do didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Allah is so beautiful, Allah's husn and jamal and grandeur, they want to see such an Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the way to meet me, Allah gives us a practical way, that mulaqat ka tariqa, there are two things here. The method to meet me is number one, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. That first that person should do righteous deeds. They should do amal salih. They should lead such a life that where they're engaged in their body, their jism, is doing ibadat of Allah, their jism is preoccupied with amal salih, with righteous deeds. And number two, wala yushrik bi ibadati rabbihi ahada. And they should not associate anyone as partners in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that person, their heart should have only Allah's muhabba. Their heart is only attached towards Allah. Their heart is only has muhabba for Allah and the loves which are in the name of Allah and for the sake of Allah. So there are no partners in love that they have. Right? So that person who has these two attributes, that first their jism, their body is engaged in the ibadat of Allah, in amal salih. And number two, their heart is in love with Allah, and their heart is in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, then such a person will be able to look at the jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will bless that person with his jamal. That person will be able to see Allah's beauty. We will be able to see Allah's perfection. We'll be able to see Allah's excellence on the day of in Jannatul Firdaus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless that person with his didar, with his ru'ya, with his vision, and with his mulaqat. So this last ayat, this is the nuchur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, that this is the maqsood. Maqsood batadi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the objective here, that the maqsood is to have mulaqat with Allah, to have the vision to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this last ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tariqa, that how can a person get this mulaqat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two things. That number one, a person should do amal salih. Their jism should be engaged in the ibadat of Allah, and their heart should be engaged in the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their heart should only have love for Allah. No partners in love. So this you can understand in English also. There's some relationships like that where you can't admit of anyone else, right? For example, there are two words in English language, only and also. Right? If a husband goes to his wife and says that, darling or honey, I love you also, that's going to be a problem. Every wife, she wants to hear that I love you only. I love you only. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also the darling of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also the beloved of the believers. Allah says that you should say that, Allah, I worship you only. There should be no also. I worship you and I not worship any my nafs also. I obey you only. Not I obey you, but I also obey other things like fashion, culture, and society. No, Allah says that tawheed khalis is that I follow your pleasures only. I love you only. And by the way, loving Allah only means loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and loving Allah for the sake of Allah. Loving those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to love. So includes love for Allah, and love which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined us to, right? So it includes loving our parents, loving our siblings, loving our spouse, a certain form of love between teacher and student, a certain form of love between the Muslims, it's at a different extent, right? So Allah says, I love you only. And those people who have such a heart, where their heart has love for Allah and love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in addition to that, they're also people of ibadah, amalu salih, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that such people will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannatul Firdaus, and they will be able to attain to their goal, their maqsad e hayat, their maqsad of their zindagi. So we see here that this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this surah. The surah, it begins with, so if you look, if you understand the surah, the structure of this surah, the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by first mentioning five stories. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions five stories. I'm going to come to them one by one. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these five stories. Why? So that Allah ta'ala wants to mentally condition our thinking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mara zehn sazi farmare. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is conditioning our thought, conditioning our mind, that you are people who are chasing this dunya. This dunya is a temporary. This example of the dunya is like a rainwater. It's funny. It's going to end one day. Don't give your heart to this dunya. Don't give your love to this dunya. Don't be solely concerned about the dunya. And those people who are solely concerned about their dunya, they will be amongst the lost ones. They will be amongst the aksarina amala. So they will waste their life away. They will fail their life. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his praise. Allah mentions his sifat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his excellence, that the grandeur, his husn and jamal. And naturally, when a person listens to the jamal of Allah, the husn of Allah, that how beautiful and how amazing and how lovely and how beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, then for a believer, naturally, there is a desire that comes in their heart that I also want to meet such a Lord. I want to also want to meet such a loving Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you want to meet such a loving Lord, if you want to do mulaqat, if you want to see me, then you will have to do two things. Number one, you have to engage in righteous deeds. And number two, empty your heart of all unlawful loves. Empty your heart of all shaitani muhabbatein, nafsani muhabbatein, shahwani muhabbatein. If you have any muhabbah in your heart, that muhabbat should be only for Allah and in the name of Allah, for the sake of Allah, lillah, billah, fillah. And whoever does these two things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with that person. They are able to attain the rada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in Jannat al-Firdaus, they will be able to get the liqa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll be able to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they'll be able to get the didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will leave this life, they will leave this world in such a state that they will be able to protect their iman, and they will be able to meet Allah in such a state that Allah is razi with them. They are razi with Allah. Allah is smiling in them, and they're smiling back at Allah. So this is the surah, Suratul Kahf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that we are in this zamana, that we have become worldly and have made worldly life our goal. So, and this is that. So what is the link with Dajjal here? That this is that mind which will be easily impressed by Dajjali fitna. That mind which is taken over by the dunya, which has made dunya their be-all, their end-all, which has taken worldly life as their maqsad e zindagi. This will be a mind, this will be a mentality, this will be a thinking which will be easily impressed by the fitnas of Dajjal. And then such people will be on the risk, on the verge of wasting their iman. And that is why Allah Ta'ala, through different stories in Surah Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of our maqsad, of our goal, of our objective, that feel the azmat of your iman. This iman is the greatest blessing that you have. And turn your heart away from the dunya. Be in the dunya, but don't give your heart to this dunya. Give your heart to akhirah. Prepare for akhirah. And Allah Ta'ala is telling us that the purpose of our life is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not to please our nafs. The purpose of our life is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to give in to the desires of our nafs. The purpose of our life is not simply ease and comfort. Ease and comfort is not the maqsad of this life. Even if a person has to bear some difficulty, we have to make preparations for akhirah. And that person is able to make preparations for akhirah, then such a person will not be amongst the akhsarina, will not be amongst the khasara, will not be a loser. Rather, this person will be amongst the successful ones. This person will get the Jannatul Firdaus and will be living there forever. And at the end here, Allah Ta'ala again mentions the three things which are the nuchod of the surah. The number one, that who are the ones who will be the greatest losers? The people who will be the greatest losers are those who spend their whole life in this dunya.
الذين سعيهم الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا. They will be the ones who will be the greatest losers, who thought that they were doing good, but in fact, all their efforts were only for the dunya. And when their eyes will close, then they will realize that they didn't make any preparation for akhirah. And then second thing Allah mentions is Allah does zikr of His husn, His jamal. Allah is so beautiful, so praiseworthy, so amazing. So when the Mahabubi tells us about His beauty, about His perfection, Allah then also tells us how to meet such a Lord, how to meet Him. Who can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's the way to meet Allah ta'ala? You know, every believer wants to do mulaqat with Allah. Any person who has recited the kalima, their heart will desire that I wish one day will come that I can also get to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can also be blessed with this didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he expressed his wish in this world. He said to Allah, Allah, I wish to see you. Allah said, Lan tarani, you will not be able to see me in this life, in this world. Come to Mount Tur, and Allah Ta'ala sent one tajalli on Mount Tur, and the whole mountain disintegrated. Dakkan dakka, completely was destroyed. Was not able to do bardasht of even one tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a, for us also, we have that desire also that Allah, we also want to see you. We also want to meet you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that I will be, you will be able to meet me and see me. But the promise is not for this life. The promise is for the hereafter in Jannah. In Jannat al-Firdaus, you will be able to see me, but in this life, you will have to do some intizar. You will have to wait some time, do some intizar, and then in Jannah, you will be able to see me. But for a believer, they will say that this is a sasta soda. It's a cheap price to wait in this life to be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Akhirah. One poet, I'm not good with poetry, but I really like this couplet. Someone said that, Sare tur ho, sare hashar ho, hame intezar kabul hai. Sare tur ho, yani Mount Tur, whether it's the tip of Mount Tur, sare hashar ho, or it's the day of the hereafter, hame intezar kabul hai. Sare tur ho, sare hashar ho, hame intezar kabul hai. Wo kabhi mile, wo kahin mile, wo kabhi sahi, wo kahin sahi. Right, wherever we can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're willing to do intezar. And Allah says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ, that whoever has this desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever has a tamanna, a rija, a hope to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two things Allah ta'ala is giving us, a lubbi lubab of this maqsood, how we can fulfill this goal of our life. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, they should do nek amal with their jism, or dil se kya kare, wala yushrik bi ibadati rabbihi ahada, their heart should have love for Allah and Allah alone. Love for Allah and love for the sake of Allah. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us this shauk for nek amal. May Allah Ta'ala grant us this zauk for nek amal. May Allah Ta'ala grant us this desire for nek amal. May Allah Ta'ala fill our hearts with His love. And may Allah Ta'ala empty our hearts of all ghairullah, all things that are other than Allah, all the impermissible and unlawful loves. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicate our hearts and use our hearts only and only for His love and those loves which He wants us to have. Now we want to do a review of this whole surah, Suratul Kahf. And this is going to be, I'm going to summarize all the, I think how many lessons we did, I'm forgetting, maybe 6, 7, 8 lessons. I'm going to summarize all these lessons in the next few minutes that we have. And Surah Kahf, there are going to be 5 stories. And every story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us a key lesson from that story. So 5 stories of Surah Kahf and 5 key lessons. And whoever, if we all of us can remember these 5 stories, the structure of these stories, and if we can remember these 5 take-home lessons of Surah Kahf, then inshallah, we would have benefited from all of these sessions that we had in Surah Kahf. So how many stories are there in Surah Kahf? There are 5 stories in Surah Kahf. The middle story, yani the third story, the central story, is the story of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wassalam and Shaitan. This is the Markazi Waqia. And this story mentions how Shaitan, he deceived Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, and he, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he made a slip and he ate from that tree. And Shaitan, he took Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam out from the Jannah, and Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam came to this world. And not only Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam came to this world, but Amma Hawa alayhi salam, she also came to this world. And the progeny of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, me and you, all of us, we also came from the Jannah to this life, to this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this waqiyah and this story teaches us that this story is about Shaitan and Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, that Shaitan was the enemy of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Shaitan was the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala is doing nasiha to the believers that Shaitan is also your enemy. Take Shaitan as your enemy. View Shaitan as your enemy. So this is the central story of Surah Kahf. And you can... Ayat are very few, but if you see, this is right in the middle. Now, what is the lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand from this story? What's the nature, the summary of this story? And that is as follows, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that, oh insan, this world, this dunya that you have, where you're living, this dunya is your watani iqamat. This is not your watani asli. This dunya that you're living is your temporary abode, is your temporary residence. It's not your permanent residence. It's not your permanent permanent abode. What is our permanent abode? What is our watani asli, our real home? That is Jannah. We are inhabitants of Jannah. We are people who belong to Jannah. We are residents of Jannah. And you know, it's easy. Sometimes we meet people who are nomads, right? So people, nomads, if you see, that going from one place to another, traveling from one place to another, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. That you are also nomads here in this world. You can roam here and there for some time. Eventually you will die, and then you will be raised up on the day of judgment. And then because of the barakah of your iman, we will return you back to your asli home, which is your Jannah, which is your watani asli. That is Jannah, is your real home. So remember your real home. Sometimes people say that we belong from Kashmir, that we are residents of Kashmir, and people become happy that because Kashmir is very beautiful. So they say that we are coming from Kashmir, that's our hometown, and it's a very beautiful place. So they become happy that we are residents of Kashmir. In the same way, we should also be happy that we asal mein, we are residents of Jannah. Jannah is our watani asli, is our real home. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for azmaish, as a test and trial, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us, all of us here on this earth for some time. And Allah ta'ala wants us that we, when we spend our life here in piety with the righteousness, then after spending our life, our stay in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return us back to our real home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return us back to Jannah. Allah says in Quran, وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ مَنْ تَزَكَّى, that this is the badla. This will be the compensation, the recompense of those people who led such a life of tazakka, who led such a life of purity, of piety, of righteousness. Allah will give them Jannah. So Jannah is something which we get as miras, as our inheritance. Allah Ta'ala says in Quran in Surah Maryam also, Tilkal jannatul lati nurisu min ibadina man kana taqiyya. That those who are muttaki, those people who are living a life of piety and purity, then for such people, Jannah will be their miras. Jannah is not their milkiyat. They will be their miras. It will be their inheritance. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using the word miras here? Miras comes from virasat, inheritance. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using this word? Because miras refers to something which you get because of your parents. Your father, mother, they leave behind something and you inherit it. That is called miras. And since Jannah was the mirror, Jannah was our parents, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, Amma Hawa alayhi salam, they were in Jannah. And we are the aulad of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the descendants of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you will get Jannah as a miras, as a waris. That we are the waris of Jannah. Ye mari miras hai. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this Jannah for us. And this is the world, this is the time that we have in this life, that we can do good deeds, and because of the barakah of our iman and because of a life of piety, taqwa, purity and righteousness, we can return back. We can return back to our asli watan, our asli ghar, our real home, which is going to be Jannah. know, people sometimes migrate from one place to another. People go to Canada and they migrate. Irrespective of wherever you migrate in this world, whether you have a house here in Pakistan, a house here in Dubai, house there in Canada, or in the US, that's not the real home. Your home sweet home is going to be Jannah. Your real home is going to be Jannah. Your asli home is going to be Jannah. And that is what this waqia is all about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Quran, in Surah Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this dunya life that you have, this is just an example. The example of this worldly life is just like a rainwater. It's just like a rainwater. The rain falls and goes away. It's very temporary. It's very fleeting. It's very flowy. And in the same way, this life that you have, halat will keep on changing. Halat will keep on flowing. Halat will not stay the same. But you should not get so preoccupied with the halat of the dunya, but rather you should be looking at the akhirah. Your gaze should be about the akhirah. Is dunya se dil na lagao. Don't be attach your heart to this world. Rather attach your heart. Your heart should be preoccupied with Jannah, because that's where you belong. That's your asli manzil. That's your real destination. And today, you know, we need to remind this lesson. It's a lesson that is well worth reminding for all of ourselves, because again, we are living such a life of ease and comfort, so much facility, so much sahulate, all of us have. Before, even the kings of the world would not have the kinds of facilities and luxuries that we have. And we are able to enjoy such blessings, AC and cold water, and be able to, you know, go from one place to another place in a few minutes. And these are things which even the kings of olden times, they were not able to get. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His fazl, out of His rahmah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these ni'mat here today. So because we are living in this zamana, where there is a zamana of ease, and this is a zamana of comfort and luxury, so normally a person becomes ghafil of akhirah. We become heedless about the akhirah. We become preoccupied with the things of the dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us here a lesson that no, don't forget your akhirah. You are only nomads here. Your real house is in Jannah. And when you will pass away, then if you make preparations for akhirah because of your iman, Allah will return you back. Right? So Allah will return you back to your mustaqar, ma kithina fiha abada, that you will dwell in Jannah forever. So don't view this dunyavi life to be the be-all and end-all. Dunya se dil na lagao. Balki apni akhirat ko yaad rakho, apne asli ghar ko kabhi na bula. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent all of us here as an imtihan, as a test. And those who fulfill this imtihan, then Allah will return them back to their real home. So agar hamara dil kahin atakna hai, to dunya mein na atke, but our heart should always be attached to Jannah. So this is the story of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Shaitan. And this is the lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us through this story, that dil apna akhirat mein, a person should be thinking about akhirah, making preparations for their akhirah. And they should not be totally, completely preoccupied with the world of, with the life of this dunya. Now, this is the central story, the central waqia of Surah, yani the middle waqia of Surah Kahf. So total, there are five stories. This is the central one. Before this story, there are two other waqiyat. And those two other stories are about Awamun Nas. Yani they're average people, right? They're not the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not special people, but Awamun Nas. So which stories are there? The first story is about Ashab-e-Kahf. So the first story is about Ashab-e-Kahf. There were some young men who, in order to save their iman, they sought a refuge in a kahf. And when they went inside that kahf, there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them to sleep. And they slept for more than 300 years. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved their jism, their body. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send malaika, angels from the sky, who would come down periodically and do change the karvat of these people, the Ashab-e-Kahf. And then while they were sleeping, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the halat of the society in such a way that the Zalim Badsha, who would be persecuting the people of Iman, that Zalim Badsha, he passed away. And a new king, a new ruler came, and he got domination in Ghalwa. And this new king was a person of Iman, was a mu'min. And when these people, they came out, They did not know who is the new king, whether the new king is a believer or a non-believer. They thought that we have just been sleeping for a day or for a fraction of a day. So when they woke up after about 300 years, they started asking each other. They said that, you know, how long have we been sleeping here? And they then were feeling hungry. So they said to one person that, why don't you go out and get some roti for us, get something to eat. And they sent someone and gave a wasiyat and nasiyat that when you go and you speak to the shopkeeper, then don't engage, don't debate with that person. Ko jhagda na karna, wal yatalattaf. Rather, if you have to speak to them with the narmi. Unse narmi se baat karna. Be polite in your engagement with them. Be polite in your maamalat with them. So this wal yatalattaf, this word, this is the center of the whole Quran. And if you look at all the words of the Quran, and if you try to identify which is the central word, the middle word of the whole Quran, this is going to be, it's this word. And why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose this to be the central word of the whole Quran? The reason is because the meaning of this word is very beautiful. And the meaning is that when you engage with other people, engage them with politeness. Narmi se maamla karna, narmi se baat karna. Speak politely, speak gently, speak softly. And then they also said that when you go and search out for food, then try to get some halal, tayyib, azka food for us. Because again, to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pure food is very important. Sometimes when a person eats haram morsel, one morsel of impermissible food, and that can waste away a lot of noor of ibadat for many year, for many months and many weeks. So when this person, he goes to the shopkeeper, he gives the money to he gives the sikka, right? The gold coin to the shopkeeper. Now that coin is about 300 years old. So that shopkeeper, he understands, oh, these are people who are so old. And that's how the story opens up. The story opens up, he calls other people, and then other people realize that who these people were, the Ashab-e Kahf, the pious king, the believing king, he also realized. And he honors them. He respects the Ashab-e Kahf. And then when the Ashab-e Kahf, they pass away, the king and the people, they erect some monuments, a memorial, in order to remember such people, how pious they were. Then in order to save their iman, they went inside a cave. And they also built a masjid near the entrance of that cave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all of this in the Quran, in the first part of Surah Kahf. This whole story is mentioned in detail. Now, what is the lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to take from this story of Ashab-e Kahf? The lesson is as follows, that O people of Iman, in time of Qurb-e Qiyamah, this time of Qurb-e Qiyamah will be a fitno ka zamana, will be a time when you will be living in fitna. It will be such a time when a person will wake up in the morning in a state of Iman, and when they will die, when they will go at night to their bed, they will be without Iman, they will be deprived of this ni'mat of Iman. And when they will be at night, they might have Iman, but when they will wake up in the morning, they will be deprived of this ni'mat of Iman. Yani their Iman will be fluctuating so much. And in such a time, they will also have the precursors of Dajjal. And this fitna of Dajjal will be such a great fitna that the Prophet ﷺ said that among all the fitnas of Bani Adam, any fitna that could have been, that would come to Bani Adam, the greatest and the biggest fitna will be the fitna of Dajjal. And this fitna will be such that it will envelop the whole world, will take over the whole world, and a lot of people will be misled, will end up giving up their very Iman because of this fitna of Dajjal. And in Qurb-e Qiyamah, the precursors all of us are already experiencing. All of us are already experiencing the precursors of this fitna of Dajjal. So in this fitna, this will not be an amli. This will be both. This will not be, when a person does amli guna, it's not just going to be amli that a person is committing zina or riba, right? Because when a person does an amli guna, yani practically they disobey, they sin, they don't lose their iman. They become a sinner, but they don't lose their iman. You will say this person, he did something that he was not supposed to do, but he still has the ni'mat of iman. He's not deprived of this ni'mat of iman itself. But when a person does nazariyati, when their aqaida change, when their aqeedah changes, when their belief changes, when they begin, when they're influenced by other ideologies, by other philosophies, then that is more dangerous, because that is a way through which a person can let go of their very iman. And that is what is going to happen in the fitnas of Dajjal, in the precursors of Dajjal, in this age, in this zamana that we are living in. That it's not about simply sinning. It's not simply about not praying, or it's not about other acts that you're supposed to do in the Sharia. The greatest danger of this time is actually nazariyati, the ideologies, the intellectual fitna, the philosophies, whether they're coming in different kinds of isms, or you know, there's secularism or liberalism or agnosticism or atheism. These nazariyati, these intellectual challenges, intellectual competitions, these intellectual ideologies, right, that are coming up in newer forms on the media, on the social media, on the TV, on different channels, right? And all of them are sort of speaking about things that are going against the aqaid of our iman, against the aqaid of Islam. And that is very dangerous. Because when these new things will come, they will try to change what the definition of iman is. They will try to change what the definition of Islam is. They will try to take a person away from the very foundations of our iman, of our aqaid. And hence a person will end up losing their iman. So then, what is the lesson of this story? Allah, how can a person save their iman? How can a person save their iman? The method is the same method as that of the Ashab-e Kahf. The Ashab-e Kahf, they save their iman by seeking refuge, by taking sanctuary in a cave, in a kahf. Kahf is called a cave. So they protected their iman by going inside a cave. Today, any person who wants to safeguard their iman, they also have to take a sanctuary inside a kahf, inside a cave. How many caves? Now the next question is that what is going to be the kahf for us in these times? So the ulama have mentioned that there are going to be 5 kahf. There are 5 kahf for us. Anyone who is able to seek a refuge or sanctuary in any one of these 5 kahf, they will be able to save their iman. So what are those 5 kahf? The first kahf is the kahf of Islamic institutions of learning, yani the madaris, the places where ilm of deen is imparted, whether this can be a traditional madrasa, or this can be an online madrasa, or this can be an Islamic institution which imparts Islamic learning of the Quran, Sunnah, and Sharia. All of these places where ilm of deen, ilm of Quran, Sunnah, Hadith, Sharia is being given, these madaris in whatever form, whatever shape, all of these places are the first kahf. And whoever attaches themselves to these madaris, to these places of learning, of Islamic learning, they will be able to protect their amal, they will be able to protect their iman, and they will be able to live such a life that they will be able to die on a state of iman. Because these madaris, these institutions of Islamic learning are going to be a kahf for us, and they will protect a person from the fitnas of shaitan and the fitnas of Dajjal. And always also understand another thing here, that these institutions of Islamic learning, they're here to stay. They're here to stay, and they are here to stay. They can never be ended. They can never be finished. They can never be destroyed. Why can't they be destroyed? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that in His own Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken a promise. Allah ta'ala is promising that He will do hifazat of these places. This is a very important point to remember. Where is Allah Ta'ala promising this? Allah is promising this in His own Quran. What is the promise? Allah says in Surah Al-Hijr, ayah number 9, that inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. That we have revealed this Quran as a nasiha, and we have taken upon ourselves the responsibility to do hifazat of this Quran. Yani, in other words, Allah is guaranteeing that this Quran, we are going to protect and preserve and do hifazat of this Quran. Now, who is the muhafiz of Quran? Qari. Qari is that person who protects the huruf of the Quran. How to utter those words properly. Qari-e-Quran. Hafiz. Hafiz is that person who is the protector of the lafz, the alfaz of the Quran. Alim. Alim is the protector of the meanings of the Quran. Mashayikh and Shuyukh, they are the protectors of the ma'arif, of the deep meanings of the Quran. So all of these people, they are a jamaat who are doing hifazat of the Quran. Whether he's a qari Quran or hafiz or a alim or a mashayikh. And when Allah says that Quran, Allah will protect, that Allah has taken upon himself the responsibility and the guarantee to preserve and protect the Quran, what that means, what that implies is that the Qari will be protected by Allah, because they are the ones who are protecting the alfaz of the Quran. The hafiz will be protected by Allah, the alim will be protected by Allah, and the mashayikh will be protected by Allah. And how will they be protected? They all will be protected because of these institutions of Islamic learning, because that's where they live. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a glad tiding in this. Is first making a promise that Allah will protect the Quran and all those people who are engaged in the preservation of Quran in whatever form or shape. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also, there is a glad tiding here. Glad tiding and ishara here of a khushkhabri that such places, such kahf, this sanctuary will be here, will be there in every zamana. And whoever is able to attach themselves to this sanctuary, this kahf, they will be able to protect their iman. So, how many kahf? There'll be five kahf. Five kahf through which a person can protect their iman. The first kahf for us in this day and age are these Islamic institutions of learning where the ta'aleem of Quran, Sunnah and Sharia is given. The second kahf is the sohbah, the company of the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The company of Ahlullah, the people of Allah. Allah says in Quran, Sadiqeen, those people who are the embodiments of the Quran, Sunnah and Sharia. To put ourselves in the company of such people, that will also be a means of protecting and preserving our iman. And that is what Allah says in Quran, that ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. That O people who have brought iman, have taqwa, have purity, and the way you can have purity, you can have taqwa in your life, you can abstain from sin and protect and preserve your iman, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ is to put yourself, simply just put yourself, place yourself in the company of those people who are the sadiqeen, who are the people of Allah, who are the ahlullah. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ also said that whoever associates with such people, the people of Allah, then they will never be deprived. They will not get shakawat. And shaki refers to that person who leaves this world without the ni'mat of iman. So in other words, the Prophet ﷺ is also giving a glad tiding, a khush khabri, that any person who associates with such people, who puts themselves in their company, doesn't even say that follow them, obey them, itaat. He just says, put yourself in their company, associate with them, but utna baitna rakho. Put yourself in their company, and as a result, the Prophet ﷺ gives a glad tiding that such a person will die on the kalma. They will die on this ni'mat of iman. They will not be shaki. They will not be deprived of this ni'mat. So such people and the sohbah of such people, the company of such people is also going to be a way through which we can protect our iman. This is the second kahf that we have, another sanctuary. And anyone who puts himself in such a sanctuary, they will be able to protect and preserve their iman. Third kahf is the work of deen, inviting other people towards deen, doing work of deen, and this can take many forms. So any person who's engaged in this work of inviting other people towards deen, in da'wat, in tabligh, in inviting other, whether it's in person, door to door, online, nasihat, counseling, any person who takes upon himself this task, this maqsad, makes this their objective of inviting other people and counseling other people and doing da'wah of deen to other people, then such a person, because of the barakah of this da'wah and because of the barakah of inviting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also preserve the iman of such a person. This is also another sanctuary. This is also a kahf. Whoever is going to be engaged in this mihnat of inviting, doing da'wah, they will also be able to leave this world, die in a state of iman. Allah will protect the iman of that person because of the barakah of this work of deen. And the fourth kahf is Quran. That whoever attaches himself to Quran, Quran is also a kahf. Quran is also, Allah says in Quran that this is qiyamah. This is going to be a source which is going to protect the iman of a person. And hence, wherever there is Quran, whoever attaches himself to this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they start reciting the Quran, they start reading the Quran, they try to understand the Quran, they are implementing the teachings of Quran, they're also spreading the teachings of Quran towards other people. Anyway, they're attached with this book of Allah Ta'ala, with Quran Azim al-Shan. This Quran is also going to protect their iman. This Quran is also going to be a kahf for them. So Allahu Akbar, you know, there was a time that people, Quran was very common. Any masjid used to go to, whether east or the west, there would be Dars-e-Quran, there would be Tafsir-e-Quran, Tarjuma-Quran, and whoever would attach themselves to these ta'limat, to these circles of Quran learning, then, and they would try to change their life and try to implement these teachings in their life, try to implement, try to change their aqaids, bring them in accordance with the Quran, try to bring their amal in accordance with the Quran. Because of the barakat of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will preserve, protect their iman. And like I said that early, even if I look at my own personal life, and if I look when I was young, you know, it was more common to have these circles of Quran in different masjid, different places, maybe on PTV or in different TV channels. You would have, I think, more than what we see today. You would have, you know, some sense, a bit awareness of being attached to the Quran. And it's unfortunate, it's quite tragic that gradually we see that people are sort of distancing themselves from this Quran. This is tragic, but this is going to have a, this is, there is a nuksan here. That more and more we become separated from the Quran, more and more we endanger our very iman. So we should, this is a kahf for us, and we should try to take benefit of this Quran that we have and have a strong taluk, a strong relation with this Quran, because this Quran is also going to be a qiyama. Allah has used this word. Qiyam means it's going to be a source of establishment. It's going to establish us in this world. And it's also going to establish our iman in this world. It's going to keep us firm and mazboot and sabit qadam on this deen of Islam for as long as we live here in this life. Right? So Quran is going to be the hayat. Quran is going to give life to our iman. And the fifth and the last kahf is Makkah Mukarramah in Madinah Tayyibah. So whoever has the opportunity, have the Madi Wasail and the resources to be able to go and live in Makkah Mukarramah in Madinah Tayyibah, they should try to go do so, because the Prophet ﷺ has said in a sound hadith that the Dajjal, the fitna of Dajjal will spread all over the world. However, this fitna will not be able to enter into Makkah Mukarramah, will not be able to enter into Madinah Tayyibah. In fact, there will be angels who will be at the doors of Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Tayyibah, and they will be doing hifazat of these two places. And hence the Dajjal will not be able to enter these two places. So Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Tayyibah, and also Baitul Muqaddas. These three places will be, they're like a sanctuary, a refuge for us. Whoever is able to go there, live there, they will also be protected from the fitna of the Dajjal. Now, so these are the five kahf. Now I want to mention to you something. Listen to this very carefully. And I'm going to give you the reference also for this, that Sayyid Muhammad bin Abdul Rasul al-Barzanji rahmatullahi, he was a very big alim. He has written a book called Al-Isha'atu li-Ashratu Sa'a. What's the name of the book? Al-Isha'atu li-Ashratu Sa'a. And this is a book in which he mentions some of the alamat of the Awr, of Qurb-e Qiyamah. And in this book, Ashratu Sa'a, he has narrated a hadith which has been narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that he said that Ashabul Kahfi A'wanul Mahdi. Ashabul Kahfi A'wanul Mahdi, that the Ashabi Kahf, they will be the helpers of Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam. And what does this mean? This means that whoever attaches themselves to these kahf, what I just mentioned, these five kahf, whoever attaches themselves to these kahf, then when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will come to this world, then who will become his helper? Who will become his assistant? Who will become his companions? Ashabul kahf. Those who are the ashab kahf, whoever attaches themselves to these kahf, they will be the helpers, they will be the companions of Imam Mahdi when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will come. So that's why we should remain attached to one of these kahf, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will include us amongst the companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam comes, and when he, together with Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, they will kill Dajjal. So we want to be on the side of Imam Mahdi and Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. And this Isa Mubarakah tells us that the Ashab-e Kahf will be the helpers of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Means that those whoever will attach themselves to these Kahf, they will be the ones who will be the helpers and companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And the second thing that I read in another book, Allama Muhammad Tahir Patni Rahmatullah Alayh, who's another big Allama, very big Alim, lived in about 10th century. He has written this book, Majma'u Biharul Anwar. Majma'u Biharul Anwar. And in that book, he says that a person, whoever recites the translation of Surah Kahf, they will remain protected from the fitna of Dajjal. So if you add these two things, that any person who attaches themselves with Kahf in this world right now, in any one of these Kahf, and at the same time they also practice the teachings of Surah Kahf, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save that person from Dajjal and from the fitnas of Dajjal. So this was the first story. Then after this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the second story, the second waqiyah of Surah Kahf, which is the waqiyah of Ashabi Sahibi Jannatain. Sahibi Jannatain, this is the dusra waqiyah. And this is also a waqiyah of Awamun Nas. Koi ek aam banda tha, who was given two gardens by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was given two gardens by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in between the garden, there was a river. And the yield of the crop was quite high, and he was very happy to see his gardens. But because of that gardens and because of the crops and because of the provisions that he had, he became mutakabbir, right? He was a very wealthy person, right? But the deception of the wealthy is that he thought that this world, that this wealth, that these gardens, that this risk that I have, I will not be separated from this wealth. He thought that I will live here forever, and this wealth will be here with me forever. And he rejected Akhira. Just like Karun, he rejected Akhira. Just Sahib-e Jannatain, he also rejected Akhira. And he said that even if there is Akhira, Allah mentioning this story in Surah Kahf, his words, that he said that even if there is Akhira, that I will get more in Akhira. I will be getting more. That Allah has given me so many blessings in this world. So that means that I'm already the chosen one, the selected one. So I don't need to have any fikr, any concern, Allah will give me an akhirah also. Yani usko dhoka ho gaya. He thought ki main dunya mein I'm muazzez, I'm honorable, I'm respected, I have this wealth, means ki main akhirat mein bhi muazzez hunga. So I can do whatever I have to do. He forgot that in akhirah, izzat will depend on amal, izzat will depend on actions. So he thought that his wealth, he took his wealth to be a sign of acceptance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells his waqia, his story, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this person, he became mutakabbir, he became arrogant, and all the ni'mati that we had given him, but he thought that these ni'mati he got from out of his own intelligence, out of his own planning, and as a result, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a calamity, and Allah ta'ala destroyed his gardens. And Allah ta'ala deprived him of his blessings, and wahat malta raigya. Right, that person, when he saw that his gardens were destroyed, right, he became he realized what a big mistake he had made by attributing all those blessings to his own self. So in this waqiyah of Sahib-e Jannatain, what is the lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us? The lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us is that, oh my servants, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you any blessing in this world, Allah ta'ala gives you a house, Allah ta'ala gives you good education, Allah ta'ala gives you a good job, a good posting, a factory, any blessing that Allah ta'ala gives you, don't let arrogance come inside of you. That Allah ta'ala who has given you those blessings, attribute these blessings to that same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not attribute these blessings to yourself. Normally what happens is that insan is kamzor, and a person, because of their weakness, they begin to attribute those blessings to themselves. We think that this is good because I am good. And this is a very big mistake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like this. that the ni'matin that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, we start attributing those ni'matin to our own self. And we forget Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is what Qarun did. This is what Qarun did, that Qarun said, utituhu, that whatever this ilm, ala ilmin indi, that this ilm, all this wealth is because of my ilm. All this ilm, all this, you know, provision, this wealth, real pill that you see is all because of my ilm. That because of my business knowledge, that's why I'm wealthy. He did not attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he attributed it to his own self. And when he attributed it to his own self, then Allah ta'ala ki pakadai. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ne usi zameen ke andar usko dhasa diya. Allah ta'ala did not like it. Maal samit, where all of this wealth, Allah ta'ala put him inside the earth. He was swallowed by the earth. And in the same way, this sahib jannatain also, he had these two gardens, and he when he was blessed by Allah ta'ala with these two gardens, he attributed those gardens to his own self, that wealth to his own self. He said, mere baagh hai. I have developed it, and I have put my efforts in it, and these gardens will never end, and these ni'matin will never end, and even if I die, I will get something better. So when he attributed this ni'matin to his own self, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a calamity and destroyed the gardens. So Allah ta'ala is teaching here a lesson that if Allah gives us a blessing, we should attribute, who should be attributed towards? We should attribute that blessing to the giver of that blessing, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. That being who knows how to give, he also knows how to take that blessing back. To kabhi bhi apni taraf kisi ni'mat ko mansoob na kare. Never ever attribute that ni'mat to yourself, ki maine ye kiya, maine wo kiya, meri wajah se, nahi. Right? If we have wealth, Allah ne diya. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gave it to us. If we have any ni'mat, Allah gave it to us. If we have health, Allah gave this health to us. If we have wealth, Allah gave wealth to us. If we have intelligence, Allah gave intelligence to us. If we have a home, Allah gave us this home to us. If we have izzat, Allah gave this izzat to us. Whatever ni'mat we have, Allah has given it to us. And we should do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do shukr to Allah. And whoever does shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la'in shakartum la'azidannakum. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever is grateful to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase the ni'mat of that person. So ni'maton ki qadar karna, right? A person should attribute these ni'mat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they should be thankful to Allah ta'ala, grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they're grateful to Allah ta'ala for those blessings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to increase those blessings. This is the qanun, a golden principle. Then, oh my servants, when you do shukr, I'm going to increase my blessings upon you. So, marli bahut asan tarika hai, a very easy way to increase our blessings. All we have to do is to be grateful to Allah for the blessings that He has given us. Utte baithte, we should be thanking Allah Ta'ala that Allah apka shukr, Allah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Or if not the Arabic, in your own Urdu, in your own English, that Allah apka shukr that you gave this to me, apka ihsan that you gave that to me. Badi ajeeb cheez hai that we are people who are grateful to other people. Hum logon ki qadrdani karte hain, we are thankful to other people, grateful to other people, but we forget Allah Ta'ala, who is the giver of all these blessings. So we should be grateful to Allah for His blessings. When a person is grateful to Allah for His blessings, then that will protect us from zawale ni'mat. Wo ni'matin will be preserved, and those ni'matin will be protected for us, with us. And anyone who does shukr, their names will be written amongst the shakirin. And Allah will increase their blessings. And number three, that Allah will save such a person from arrogance and pride. This was the cardinal sin of shaitan. Shaitan became mutakabbir and he lost everything. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ said that that person who has even one drop of kibr, one drop of arrogance in their heart, they will not be able to enter into Jannah. Now this looks like a very difficult thing. How can we save ourselves from kibar and arrogance? The Sharia gives us a very easy way that whenever you get any ni'mat, just do shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Attribute that ni'mat to Allah Ta'ala and be thankful to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah will save you from this disease of pride, arrogance and ujub. So from this story of Sahib-e-Jannatain, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gives us a lesson that whatever ni'matin Allah Ta'ala has given us, we should never attribute those ni'matin to us. Rather, we should always attribute those ni'mat to the giver of those ni'mat, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Yani nazar hamesha Allah ki taraf jani chahiye. If we have any ni'mat, the nazar, our gaze should always go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our gaze should never be on our own self. We should never allow ujub and takabbur to develop in our heart. Ghumand nahi paida karna. Rather, we should be amongst those who are grateful to Allah, shukar karne wale. And when we do shukar, Allah will protect our iman. And on the other hand, whoever does mansoob of these ni'mat to his own self, then that's, they will become a lukma of the Dajjali fitna. They will become part and parcel of the fitna of Dajjal. And there is a danger that they might lose their very iman. So we should be grateful to the ihsanat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done over us. And if any time we have attributed any ni'mat to our own self, koi bada bol diya, then we should then ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, do qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ni'mat, and ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us a life of shukr, or grant us a life of ajazi and humility and humbleness. May Allah Ta'ala grant us such a life of shukr, and may Allah Ta'ala grant us such a life of humbleness and humility and ajazi. So these were the central story of Surah Kahf is the waqi of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Before Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, there are two stories. The story of armed people. One was Ashab-e Kahf, and second was this story of Sahib-e Jannatain, the person who was given two gardens. Then after Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam story, there are two further stories. And the next, the fourth waqi or the fourth story is that of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he was given ilm from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and someone asked him that, are you the most knowledgeable person? And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said that, yes, I'm the most knowledgeable person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like this bada bol. And Allah ta'ala told Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam to go and meet one of his ibad, one of his servants, who has been given this special kind of ilm, which is ilm ashiya, the ilm of the ultimate, the ilm of ashiya, the ilm of the nature of different things of this world, the nature of the universe. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, then he went there and he asked three different questions. He was not able to handle that ilm which Sayyidina Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam had. And he kept on asking, kept on questioning. And eventually at the end, Sayyidina Khizr alayhi salam said to Musa alayhi salam that you will not be able to bear this ilm that you have. You will not be able to do sabr on this ilm, on the actions that I'm doing, because you don't have that ilm which Allah Ta'ala has given me. Allah has given you a ilm of the Sharia. Allah has given me another kind of ilm. You don't know the ilm that Allah has given me, and hence you will not be able to do sabr on the actions that I'm doing. And then Sayyidina Khizr alayhi salam said to Musa alayhi salam that, oh Musa alayhi salam, do you look at this sparrow, this bird? And there was a bird that came and he took a drop of water in its beak, and then it went back. Took a drop of water and then it went back. So Sayyidina Khizr alayhi salam, he pointed towards that sparrow and said to Musa alayhi salam that, do you look at that sparrow? And then in comparison to Allah Ta'ala's ilm, my knowledge and your knowledge does not even equal the amount of water that this sparrow has taken from the ocean. So the lesson of this story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Khizr alayhi salam, what is the lesson Allah Ta'ala is teaching us? The lesson is as follows, that a person, no matter how much ilm he has, no matter how much ilm they have, they should not think that I've attained everything. They should not think that I've attained all the knowledge of all the haqiqat of the world, of the haqiqat of the essence of different things. And insan haqiqat ko nahi pa sakta. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made Hazrat Musa alayhi salam meet someone who had this ilm of ashiya. So this is a lesson here. And Sayyidina Khizr alayhi salam is telling Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that even my ilm combined with your ilm, every ilm combined, all the ulum of all the insaniyat, they can combine together. But in comparison to the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the human knowledge, they will not be even equal to a fraction of the water of the ocean. Human beings, they, no matter how developed they become, no matter how much advanced they become, no matter how many advancements they can they can achieve and attain in science and different fields of science, they will not be able to attain, they will not be able to completely comprehend all the ultimate realities of everything. Allah says in Quran, وَفَوْكَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ, that in before and above every knowledgeable person, there is another being who is more knowledgeable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most knowledgeable. Yani Allah's ilm has no comparison. Yani the lesson is ke insan kabhi apne ilm pe naaz na kare. Kabhi apne ilm pe takabbur na kare. Previously, sahib jannatain, he did takabbur on the wealth that he had. He attributed that wealth to himself. And that story was teaching that don't associate any wealth that you have. Yani apne maal ko Allah ki taraf mansoob karo. This story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is teaching us they don't even become arrogant about the ilm that you have. Because this ilm that you have is also coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever knowledge and intelligence and research and science, whatever you're able to do in an intellectual sense, that is also a ni'mat from Allah. Don't even attribute that to your own self. That I did this because of my akal, because of my intelligence, because of my high IQ level. No. Because of my training in science, because of my training in that discipline or this discipline, because of my PhD, right? Allah is saying, no, whatever ilm you have is not your ilm. It's an ilm which is given to you by Allah. That is also a blessing that you have. So don't become arrogant about your ilm. And in fact, attribute this ilm back to Allah Ta'ala. You know, there are different ways in which a person can become arrogant. Arrogance, there's different sources and origins of arrogance. Sometimes wealth makes a person arrogant. Maal hota hai, to maal ki jhankaad hoti hai. When a person speaks, they speak with that maal in their words, right? Similarly, ilm also is another way through which a person can become arrogant. And then they treat other people as jahil. Everyone is jahil, right? And I am intelligent, I am this, I am that. And every other person is uneducated. So Allah is saying, no. This ilm is also our ni'mat. And you should attribute this ni'mat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you should also remember that every person, no matter how much ilm you have, no matter how much your science makes advancements, you can never, human beings, you can never understand the ultimate realities of everything. They can never understand. We can never understand the functionings of this kainat, the hakikat of this universe, the cosmos, the galaxies, the Milky Way. The macrocosm, the microcosm. You know, every day science is coming up with their own research, with their own advancements, and we are learning newer and newer things, newer and newer information and knowledges, newer and newer accomplishments, and it feels as if we're reaching the end, right? As if we can finally crack the final equation X, right? And be able to crack the system, how this world operates, right? And Allah, you know, whether it's advancements in genetic engineering or DNA or other, you know, you're cracking the code in the human genome and so many things are happening. So there is a person might think, looking at the advancements, and this is again, let me show you know, how this links with Dajjal and how does this link with the fitnas and the precursors of Dajjal. So the lesson is that the aane wale waqt, you know, the times that are coming, it seems that a person will turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will become weak in their iman. And they will begin to look at science and all these technology and these advancements, these materialism, these materialistic ideologies, they will become the iman of a person. And this is what exactly will happen when the Dajjal will come, right? The Dajjal, when he comes, Allah will give him some special quwwah. And it seems that he will have these scientific quwwah, some technology. That he will command the rain and it will start raining. And there's some scientific thing, scientific knowledge that he will have through which he will be able to, and even today in Dubai, you will have artificial rain, right? Just a few days ago, they were able to disseminate some seeds and it rained artificially in Dubai, right? So he will have some kind of such technology, some scientific knowledge because of which he will be able to do such things. Rainfall, increase the yield of crops, increase the milk of animals. He will be able to, in some imagine, some miraculous way, bring a dead person to life also. And I mentioned this last time, that a dead person will come back to life. And when this dead person, however, he will be able to do this only once. And when that person comes back to life, that person himself will say to Dajjal, they tried to kill me again. And now Dajjal will not be able to kill him. So it seems that Dajjal, he will use these technologies and this will become a way through which people will let go of their iman. People will, their gaze will turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their gaze will be fixed and will be preoccupied by the materialism that they see. But these advancements in science and technology and biology and physics and all these different fields, and such people who will be given in to such materialism, to such isms, they will be easily impressed by the things that Dajjal is able to do. And as a result, they will be, they will let go of their iman by the impression that they have of Dajjal, by the things that Dajjal will be able to do. So in this waqi and this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that the way you can save your iman is to remember that the ilm that any person has, no matter how advanced your society becomes, no person, no human being will truly be able to understand all the ultimate realities of every single thing that is happening in this universe. That ilm belongs to Allah and Allah alone. Allah and Allah alone. And if some person has been given some partial ilm by Allah, they have some partial knowledge, that knowledge is only partial, and that knowledge also has been given and bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us here in this story. And that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, there is khair in that. We don't know everything, but Allah ta'ala knows everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hikmah. Every decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wisdom. And Allah ta'ala's hikmah is there in every action. And hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. And we don't know everything. Whatever Allah does, there is khair, there is hikmah, there is a reason, a benefit in that. And then the last, the fifth waqiyah, the story, which is the story of Zulkarnain. And in this story, Zulkarnain, again, if you look, what is the story? Zulkarnain was not a king. He was not born a king. He was rather a pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a wali, a friend of Allah. He belonged to poor family, and however, he would he led a life of piety, had iman, and because of iman, because of piety, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him ilm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a particular kind of ilm, an ilm of asbab, asbab ka ilm, and how to use those worldly asbab, uska ilm bhi Allah ta'ala gave it to him. So because of piety, even though he was from a poor household, not a king, but because of his piety, taqwa, iman, Allah made him the king of hearts. People, their hearts were attached to such a person. He was not a king due to hasab or nasab, due to lineage. But because of his ibadah, Allah Ta'ala gave him this ghalba, this domination. And Allah Ta'ala gave him hukumat. And Allah Ta'ala gave him this ilm of asbab. And because of that ilm, then he Allah Ta'ala mentions his story that he made three journeys, one to the east, second to the west, and then in the third journey, he came to a place where there were some people who were not able to understand his language. And they said that we are terrorized by this qawm which is Yajuj and Majuj. And we ask you, Zulkarnain, if you can make a wall between the two mountains and save us from this fitna of Yajuj and Majuj. Protect us from this terror of Yajuj and Majuj. And they said that if you can make this wall for us, we would give you money. We are willing to give you money and we want to hire your services for this. So in response, Zulkarnain, he said that I don't need your wealth. All I need is some human help, human resources. And I will tell you what you're supposed to do. I will teach you that ilm and you can make this wall. And they built the wall, and in this way, they were able to save themselves from the fitna of Yajuj and Majuj. So in this story, what is the lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to take? So there are two lessons. First lesson is that this Zulkarnain, he was not a born king. He did not have any friends. He did not even know anyone. La yakaduna yafkahuna kaula. People did not even know his language. He did not know other people's language. But he would do khidmat of other people. Yani he was a person who would do nafa, who would provide nafa to the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him this ghalba, this domination, and he used that ni'mat that Allah ta'ala had given him. He used that ilm, that resources, that provision that Allah ta'ala had given him in order to do khidmat of the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I'm going to make you this wall. Right? He was doing khidmat-e-khalq. And whatever ni'mat he had from Allah, he did not attribute those ni'mat to his own self. Rather, if you look at the words in Quran, he said that hadha rahmatum min rabbi, that all of this, this ability, this ilm that I have, this strength that I have, this ability to this wall that I have, all of this is hadha rahmatun. This is a rahmat from my Lord. So he did not attribute those ni'mat to his own self. He attributed that hukumat, that ghalba, that kingdom to Allah's path, that Allah gave me this izzat. That Allah gave me this izzat. And this is a lesson that whenever a person, they attribute their izzah, their wealth, the ni'mat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the ni'mat of that person. Allah ta'ala will give him more izzat in this dunya, will give him more izzat in this deen, and will give him more izzat in akhirah. So the lesson here is that if someone, Allah gives someone some hukumat, some ghalba, gives someone some status, some role in the society, some resources, some ilm, then we should use the ni'mat to do khidmat of the servants of Allah Ta'ala with the niyat to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the niyat that I'm doing this in the name of Allah, for the sake of Allah, lillah billah fillah. Right? The nafa pahunchana, this is the lesson. Ke Allah ki bandon ko Allah ki khatir nafa pahunchana. This is what Zulkarnain was doing, and this is why Allah Ta'ala gave him such an izzat. And this is what Allah Ta'ala says in Quran also elsewhere, that وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْكُسُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that whoever gives nafa to other people, to human beings, whoever becomes a source of khidmat for other people, providing benefit to other people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish that person on this earth. فَيَمْكُسُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that Allah will make that person established on the face of this earth. What does that mean? This means that Allah will give that person whatever that person needs in this world to be established. Allah will give him izzah. Allah will give him dunya. Allah will give him rizq. Allah will give him a house. Allah will give him a spouse. Allah, that person will become the beloved of Allah. Yani agar zameen pe kadam ko jamna hai, to aapko ye sari ne'matein chahiye. Agar aapka ghar na ho, to pair to jame to nahi hai. Agar maal na ho, gaadi na ho, izzat na ho, tabhi to aapke pair latak rahe. You're not firmly established on the earth. So the Quran, the words of Quran is saying, "Fayam kusu fil ard." Allah zameen pe uske kadam ko jama dete hain. Kiske kadmon ko jamate hain? Wa amma ma yanfa unnas. Wo shakhs jo insano ke nafa pahunchata hai. That person who provides benefit to other people, Allah ke bandon ko nafa pahunchata hai, Allah ki khatir, for the sake of Allah. So Allah, we should try to become such people. Whoever we are, wherever we are, in our or to whatever domains we have, Allah is saying that if we help other people, we should benefit other people. When we benefit other people, Allah will benefit us. Allah will help us by establishing us on this earth. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Khayrun nas may yanfa'un nas," that among humanity, insano mein, the best of human beings is that person who gives nafa to other people, who provides benefit to other people. So we should also become a source of benefiting other people. And we should make this pledge. You know, this is the lesson of Zulkarnain, the story of Zulkarnain, that we make a pledge to Allah, that Allah, we also wish to, we also want to leave, we also want to lead such a life where we will give nafa to everyone. We will give nafa to our parents. We will give nafa to our siblings. We will become a source of benefit for people in our house. Ghar walon ke liye nafa, apne rishtedaron ke liye nafa, apne shahar walon ke liye nafa, apne mulk ke liye nafa, apne iman walon ke liye nafa, hatta ke Allah ki puri makhlooq ke liye nafa. Sari makhlooq ke liye hum nafa wale ban jaye, insano ke liye nafa wale ban jaye, aur janwaron ke liye we provide benefit, and hatta ke jitni Allah ki makhlooq hai, we become nafe for other people. This becomes our identity. The Prophet ﷺ said that irhamu man fil ard, irhamu man fil ard, yarhamu man fil sama. That whoever does rahmat, that do rahmat on the people on this earth, that being who's in the sky, who's in the heavens, will do rahmat upon you. So if we do rahmat on the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will do rahmat upon us. Allah will shower us with his rahmah. Allah will put a rahmat in our life. So this is the lesson that we are learning from Zulkarnain, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us through this story, that we should become a source of benefit for other people. We should make this pledge to lead such a life where we will give nafa to every person, any person, according to our istita'at, according to our role, according to whatever ni'matim we have, wherever we are. And in return, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us established on this earth. And whatever ni'matim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we attribute it back to Allah ta'ala. We say like Sayyidina Zulkarnain, Haza rahmatu min Rabbi, all of this, my intelligence, my hukumat, my honor, my izzat, all of this is rahmah. It is a rahmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from my Lord. And another lesson that we get from story of Zulkarnain is that agar kisi ko, Allah ta'ala gives an opportunity that they have been given a ghalba where they can establish the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the zameen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should also try to do this. Because this is the zameen of Allah ta'ala. And we should try to establish the hukum of Allah ta'ala on the zameen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zulkarnain, he was given this hukum, he was given these resources, and he went and he established the hukum of Allah ta'ala wherever he went. When he made the first journey towards the east, he established the hukum of Allah ta'ala in the east. When he made the second journey towards the west, pehle westi, then the easti. So when he went to the west, then he went to the east, wherever he went, he established the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever he went. He invited people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that if you become nek, if you become pious, then Allah will give you dunya, Allah will also give you akhirah. And if you don't accept this message of deen, then Allah's qanun is that Allah becomes upset with such a person. That person will be punished here in this dunya. That person will also be punished in akhirah. He made this his mission. That whatever resources and ilm that he, whatever ni'matin that Allah has given him, he used that to establish. He used that hukuma to establish the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this, we also get the lesson that if Allah gives any one of us some role, some position of power, or some whenever any point in our life, we should try to use that as a way to establish the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our own domain, in our own lives, in our own circles, right? Allah ki zameen pe Allah ka hukum ko to establish the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after mentioning these five stories in Surah Kahf, now at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puri surat ko samitte hain. And Allah ta'ala gives us Allah himself gives us three lessons. Three lessons. And what are those three lessons? Number one, first lesson Allah says that who are the ones who will be the greatest losers? And Allah says that the ones who will be the greatest losers in this world are those alladhina kul hal nunabbiukum bil aksarina a'mala. Shall I tell you who will be the greatest losers? Nuksan uthane wale kaun log honge? Allah says these are the people unhone is duniya ko hi sawarne mein apni sari zindagi laga di, aakhirat ki fikr nahi kare. Dalla sa'yuhum fil hayatid dunya, they made the worldly life the be all and the end all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that don't make this the be all and end all. Allah is telling us that a person should turn their heart away from the dunya and also make preparations for akhirah, and make akhirah their maqsad, their goal. And then the second lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this surah with is Allah ta'ala apni tarif bayan karte hain. That Allah ta'ala apni tarif bayan karte hain. Allah ta'ala does zikr of his husn, his jamal, that Allah is so beautiful, Allah ta'ala is so amazing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so praiseworthy, that if all the oceans were to turn into ink, and we begin to write the kalimat of praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oceans would finish, But the words of Allah Ta'ala will not be exhausted. Even if you bring another seven oceans, five oceans in addition to that, even they will finish. But the kalimat, the praises of Allah will not finish, will not end. No human being can praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly is to be praised. And then after mentioning his own beauty, his own husn and jamal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you wish to meet such a beautiful Allah, if you have this desire to look and see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then last thing is that what is the Allah ta'ala teaches us the practical way. That the practical way, the method by which you can get the didar of Allah, the ru'yat of Allah is, number, there are two things Allah says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ, that whoever hopes to meet his Lord, whoever hopes to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, they should do nek amal, وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا, and فَقَتْ اللَّهِ كِي مُحَبَّتْ دِلْ مَيْ هُنِي چَيَيَ, there should be no shariq, no partners in their heart. Their heart should only be in love with Allah and Allah alone. Yani love for Allah and love in the name and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the grand finale, right? This is, you know, the mulaqat with Allah and the didar of Allah and the ru'yat of Allah. This is the greatest of all ni'mat that Allah is saying. This is the grand thing that a person can get. In fact, the grandest thing that a person can get, the greatest thing that a person can get, the highest ni'mat that a person can get. And Allah Ta'ala ends this surah by telling us that we can get these two, we can get this grand, we can get this ni'mat, this didar of Allah, if we do nek amal and if we have muhabbat of Allah in our hearts. And if a person does these two things, then the surah concludes that, and this is the reason why the Prophet ﷺ also, he mentioned a lot of fazail about this surah, because there's, through this surah, a person can learn to save their iman. They can also learn so many benefits, how we can get the benefits from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we can get the royat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we end this surah by making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may Allah ta'ala also enable every single one of us to do amal on the lessons of this surah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us amal on this ilm. May Allah ta'ala grant, make us people who also have this zawk and shock for amal salih, who are also able to practice this life of fal ya'mal amalan saliha, and who are also able to practice this life of wala yushrik bi ibadati rabbihi ahada. May Allah ta'ala remove all the unlawful love from our heart, all the unlawful emotions and all the unlawful feelings and desires from our heart. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with His love and the love for that are in His name and for His sake. May Allah ta'ala make us His ashiqi hakiki. May Allah ta'ala make us His beloved. May Allah ta'ala accept these intentions from all of us tonight. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Before we end, we'll make a dua. Subhana rabbil al wahhab, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا رب كريم، يا الله ہم آپ کے عاجز مسکین سے بندے ہیں، ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. اللہ ہماری خطاؤں کو درگزر فرما. اللہ ہمارے عیبوں کی پردہ پوشی فرما. یا رب کریم، ہم نے جو گناہ دن میں کیا ان کو معاف فرما، جو گناہ راتوں میں کیا ان کو معاف فرما، جو گناہ یاد ہے ان کو معاف فرما، جو گناہ کر کے بھول گئے ان کو معاف فرما. اللہ جو ہم نے گناہ اکیلے میں کیا ان کو معاف فرما. اللہ جو گناہ ہم نے محفلوں میں کیا ان کو معاف فرما. یا رب کریم، ہم گناہ نہیں کرنا چاہتے، لیکن اللہ ہمارا نفس ہمارا ہے، اللہ شیطان ہمارے ساتھ لگا ہوا ہے، اللہ ہم گناہ کر بیٹھتے ہیں. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ، اللہ ہم کمزور ہیں، اللہ ہر کمزور قوی کو پکارتا ہے، اللہ آپ قوی ہیں،
اللہ ہم آپ کو پکارتے ہیں یا رب کریم، ہمیں ایسا بنا دیجئے کہ آپ کو پسند آ جائے یا رب کریم، گناہوں سے نجات عطا فرما دیجئے، چھٹکارا عطا فرما دیجئے اللہ، بھی گناہوں کی لذت ہمیں دل میں محسوس ہوتی ہے اللہ، اپنی رحمت سے اس لذت کو کراہت سے بدل دیجئے اللہ، گناہوں کی نفرت ہمیں عطا فرما دیجئے، ہمیں اللہ گناہوں سے بچا لیجئے یا رب کریم، ہمیں پتہ ہے اللہ، ہمیں اپنا حال پتہ ہے کہ اللہ ہم گناہوں سے بچنا چاہیں بھی تو بچ نہیں سکتے یا رب کریم یا اللہ، لیکن ہمیں پتہ ہے اللہ اگر آپ ہمیں بچانا چاہیں تو آپ ہمیں بچا سکتے ہیں یا رب کریم، ہمیں گناہوں سے بچا لیجئے اللہ، ہم گناہ نہیں کرنا چاہتے یا رب کریم، ہمیں گناہوں سے بچا لیجئے اللہ، گناہوں کے موقعوں سے بچا لیجئے اللہ، گناہوں کی محفلوں سے بچا لیجئے، گناہوں کی باتوں سے بچا لیجئے اللہ، گناہوں کے کاموں سے بچا لیجئے، گناہوں کی طرف بڑھنے والے ہاتھوں کو پیچھے کر دیجئے، گناہوں کی طرف اٹھنے والی آنکھوں کو نیچے جھکا دیجئے یا رب کریم یا اللہ، ہم توبہ کرتے ہیں اللہ، ہمارے دل کے اندر گناہ والے خیالات ہوتے ہیں، دل کے اندر گناہ والے جذبات ہوتے ہیں یا رب کریم یا اللہ، ہمارے اس میلے دل کو پاک کر دیجئے، ہمارے اس گناہ گار دل کو اللہ صاف فرما دیجئے اللہ، آپ مزکی حقیقی ہیں اللہ، ہمارے دلوں کو صاف فرما دیجئے، پاک فرما دیجئے اللہ، ہمارے دلوں کے اندر اپنی محبت پیدا فرما دیجئے اللہ، غیر کی محبتوں کو دور فرما دیجئے اللہ، نفسانی محبتوں کو دور فرما، شیطانی حیوانی شہوانی محبتوں کو دور فرما اللہ، اپنی محبت اپنے عشق کے آتش ہمارے سینوں میں پیدا فرما، ہمارے انگ انگ سے اپنے ذکر کو جاری فرما، ہمارے روئے روئے سے اپنی محبت کو جاری فرما اللہ، ہماری ہڈی ہڈی بوٹی بوٹی اپنی محبت پیدا فرما یا رب کریم، ہماری نگاہوں کو پاک فرما، ہمارے دلوں کو صاف فرما اللہ، ہمارے سینوں کو اپنی محبت سے لبریز فرما یا رب کریم یا اللہ، اپنی رحمتوں والا معاملہ فرما دیجئے اللہ، اپنے قرآن میں فرمایا وہ اما سائل فلا تنہر، کہ جب کوئی سائل سوالی مانگنے والا آئے تو اس کو جھڑکی نہ دینا، کچھ دے دینا اللہ، جب ہم کمزوروں کو یہ حکم ہے کہ ہم کسی مانگنے والے کو دے دیں اللہ، ہم بھی تو آج آپ کے در کے سائل ہیں، آپ سے مانگ رہے ہیں اللہ، آپ بھی ہمیں منع نہ فرمائیے اللہ، ہمیں خالی ہاتھ نہ لوٹا دیجئے یا رب کریم یا اللہ، ہمیں قبول فرما لیجئے اللہ، اپنی رحمت سے ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دیجئے اللہ، اپنی رحمت سے یا اللہ ہمیں قبول فرما لیجئے اللہ، ہماری نیکی اور تقوی کی زندگی عطا فرما، اپنی محبت اور معرفت کی نیک قبول فرما یا رب کریم، آپ کے پیارے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا التائب من الذنب کما لا ذنب له، کہ گناہوں سے توبہ کرنے والا ایسا ہی ہے جیسے اس نے گناہ کیا ہی نہ ہو یا رب کریم، ہم بھی آج آپ سے توبہ کرتے ہیں اللہ، توبہ کی نیت کرتے ہیں اللہ، اپنے پچھلے تمام گناہوں سے توبہ تائب ہو کے آتے ہیں یا رب کریم، ہمارے تمام پچھلے کو معاف فرما دیجئے، ہمارے تمام پچھلے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دیجئے اللہ، ہمارے اپنے اپنے مقبول بندوں میں شامل فرما دیجئے یا رب کریم یا اللہ، اللہ رحمتوں والا معاملہ فرما اللہ، آپ نے تو قرآن میں فرمایا ادعونی استجب لکم، کہ مجھ سے دعا مانگو میں تمہاری دعاؤں کو قبول فرماؤں گا اللہ، آپ نے اس آیت میں یہ تو نہیں فرمایا کہ صرف نیکوکار لوگ مجھ سے دعا مانگے، میں صرف نیکوں کی دعائیں قبول کروں گا اللہ، آپ نے تو سب کو حکم دیا کہ چاہے نیک ہو چاہے گناہ گار ہو، سب مانگو، میں سب کی دعائیں قبول کروں گا یا رب کریم، ہم آپ کے گناہ گار بندے ہیں اللہ، آپ سے مانگ رہے ہیں رب کریم، ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما لیجئے اللہ، ہمیں اپنا بنا لیجئے اللہ، ہم آپ کا بننا چاہتے ہیں اللہ، ہم آپ کا بننا چاہتے ہیں اللہ، ہمیں اپنی محبت کے لیے قبول فرما لیجئے اللہ، دنیا والے تو آپ سے دنیا مانگتے ہیں اللہ، کاریں اور کوٹیاں مانگتے ہیں اللہ، ہم آپ سے اللہ دنیا کے ساتھ اللہ آپ سے آپ کو مانگتے ہیں یا رب کریم، ہم آپ سے آپ کو مانگتے ہیں اللہ، ہم آپ سے آپ کی محبت چاہتے ہیں اللہ، ہم آپ سے آپ کا رشتہ چاہتے ہیں اللہ، ہم آپ کو پہچاننا چاہتے ہیں اللہ، ہم آپ کے قریب آنا چاہتے ہیں اللہ، ہم آپ کی معرفت چاہتے ہیں اللہ، آپ سے آپ کا تعلق چاہتے ہیں اللہ، ہم آپ کا بننا چاہتے ہیں یا رب کریم یا اللہ، اللہ ہم آپ سے آپ کا قرب چاہتے ہیں یا رب کریم یا اللہ، ہمیں عطا فرما دیجئے اللہ، ہمیں اپنا بنا دیجئے، اپنے محبوب بندوں میں شامل فرما دیجئے، اپنے ساتھ ایک دوستی والا تعلق عطا فرما دیجئے یا رب کریم، اپنی اپنائیت نصیب فرما دیجئے اللہ، وحشت کو دور فرما دیجئے، اجنبیت کو دور فرما دیجئے اللہ، ہمیں اپنائیت عطا فرما، اپنا قرب اپنے مقربین مندوں میں شامل فرما اللہ، اپنے قرآن میں فرمایا
فَإِنِّي قَرِيب کہ آپ ہمارے قریب ہیں. اللہ ہم بھی اس قرب کو محسوس کرنا چاہتے ہیں. رب کریم رحمتوں والا معاملہ فرما دیجئے. اللہ آپ نے سیدنا یا رب کریم اللہ سیدنا یوسف علیہ السلام کے جو بھائی تھے وہ ان کے پاس آئے تھے اور کہنے لگے کہ ہمیں صدقہ دے دیجئے اور ہمارے پاس قیمت پوری نہیں ہے, ہمارے پاس قیمت نہیں ہے پورا, لیکن اناج آپ سے پورا مانگتے ہیں, ہمیں صدقہ کر دیجئے. یا رب کریم ہمارا حال بھی حج یوسف علیہ السلام کے بھائیوں جیسا ہے. اللہ ہم آپ کے پاس آتے ہیں, اللہ ہمارے پاس اعمال کچھ نہیں جو آپ کو پیش کر سکے یا رب کریم, لیکن آپ سے آپ کی رحمت کا صدقہ مانگتے ہیں. اللہ اپنی رحمت کا صدقہ عطا فرما دیجئے, اللہ اپنی معافی کا صدقہ عطا فرما دیجئے, اپنی ستاری کا صدقہ عطا فرما دیجئے, اللہ اپنی غفاری کا صدقہ عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ ہمیں اپنے بندوں میں شامل فرما لیجئے, نیک بندوں میں شامل فرما لیجئے. یا رب کریم رحمتوں والا معاملہ فرما. اللہ بچہ پریشان ہوتا ہے, ماں باپ کی طرف دوڑتا ہے, اللہ بندہ پریشان ہوتا ہے, وہ اپنے پروردگار کی طرف لوٹتا ہے. یا رب کریم آپ ہمارے رب ہیں, اللہ آپ کی طرف ہم آتے ہیں. اللہ ہماری پریشانیوں کو دور فرما دیجئے, اللہ ہمارے ان اٹھے ہاتھوں کو قبول فرما لیجئے. رب کریم رحمتوں والا معاملہ فرما دیجئے, اللہ رحمت سے ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما لیجئے, اللہ ترس کے ساتھ ترس کھا لیجئے. یا رب کریم رحمتوں والا معاملہ فرما. اللہ ہم تو گناہ کے دلدل کے اندر پھنسے ہوئے ہیں. اللہ ہم نے دنیا میں دیکھا ہے کوئی مٹی کے دلدل میں پھنسا ہو, اللہ وہ جتنا زور لگاتا ہے نکلنے کے لیے وہ اتنا نیچے مٹی کے اندر چلتا چلا جاتا ہے, وہ خود مٹی سے نہیں نکل پاتا, کوئی اور اس کو مٹی سے نکالے تو نکل سکتا ہے. اللہ ہمارا حال بھی اس بندے کی طرح ہے, اللہ گناہوں کی مٹی کے اندر پھنس چکے ہیں, گناہوں کے دلدل میں گر رہے ہیں. اللہ جتنا زور لگاتے ہیں گناہوں کو چھوڑنے کے لیے اتنا اور پھسلتے چلے جاتے ہیں, ایک قدم آگے بڑھتے ہیں کئی قدم شیطان ہمیں پیچھے پھسلوا دیتا ہے. یا رب کریم ہم اس سلسلے کو ختم کرنا چاہتے ہیں. یا رب کریم آپ ہمیں چھٹکارا عطا فرما دیجئے, گناہوں کے دلدل سے نکال دیجئے, ہمیں تقوی اور طہارت کی زندگی کے لیے قبول فرما لیجئے. اللہ آپ کی ایک رحمت کی نظر کی بات ہے, اللہ میری زندگی کا سوال ہے. یا رب کریم اللہ آپ کی رحمت کی نظر بشر حافی پہ پڑی, اللہ آپ نے ان کو شراب خانے سے نکال کے اللہ اپنی محبت کی شراب پلا دی. اللہ آپ کی رحمت کی نظر فضیل بن عیاض پہ پڑی, اللہ وہ ڈاکوؤں کے سردار تھے, آپ نے اس وہاں سے نکال کے ان کو اپنی محبت میں ولیوں کا سردار بنا دیا. اللہ آپ کی رحمت کی نظر جنید بغدادی پہ پڑی, اللہ وہ تو دنیا کے پہلوان تھے, اللہ آپ کی رحمت کی نظر پڑی, اللہ آپ نے ان کو دین کی دنیا کا پہلوان بنا دیا. یا رب کریم آپ کی نظر عمر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ پہ پڑی, اللہ وہ عمر اللہ ان کے ہاتھ میں تو ننگی تلوار تھی, وہ تو کسی اور ارادے کے ساتھ نکلے تھے, ایمان کے طالب بھی نہیں تھے, ایمان کا طلب بھی نہیں تھی. اللہ آپ کی رحمت کی نظر ان پہ پڑی, یا رب کریم آپ نے ان کو قبول فرما لیا, اللہ آپ نے ان کو عمر بن خطاب بنا دیا, عمر رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ بنا دیا, خلیفۃ الرسول امیر المؤمنین بنا دیا. یا رب کریم اپنی رحمت سے ایک ایسی رحمت کی نظر ہم پہ بھی ڈال دیجئے. اللہ ایک رحمت کی نظر اللہ آج ہمارے دلوں پہ بھی ڈال دیجئے, ایک ایسی محبت کی نظر اللہ ہمارے دلوں پہ بھی ڈال دیجئے. اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو بدل دیجئے, اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو بدل دیجئے, اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو بدل دیجئے, اللہ ہمارے دلوں کی سختی کو دور کر دیجئے, اللہ ہمارے دلوں کی ظلمت کو دور کر دیجئے. یا رب کریم آپ کے پیارے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا ہے کہ ہمارا دل آپ کے دو انگلیوں کے درمیان ہے, یقلبها کیف یشاء. اللہ آپ جہاں چاہیں ہمارے دل کو بدل سکتے ہیں, پھیر سکتے ہیں. اللہ ہمارے دل کو آج اپنی طرف پھیر دیجئے, ہمارے دل کو اللہ آج اپنی محبت کی طرف بدل دیجئے. اللہ ہمیں اپنا بنا دیجئے, ہمیں دل والا بنا دیجئے, ہمارے دلوں کو زندہ فرما دیجئے. اللہ ایمان کی حرارت ہمارے دلوں کے اندر پہنچا دیجئے, ایمان کی لذت ہمارے دلوں کے اندر پہنچا دیجئے. یا رب کریم ہمیں حقیقی معنوں میں مسلمان بنا دیجئے, حقیقی معنوں میں اللہ امتی بنا دیجئے, حقیقی معنوں میں یہ اللہ اپنا بندہ بنا دیجئے. یا رب کریم رحمتوں کے ساتھ ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. یا رب کریم آج ہم نے سورہ کہف کا اختتام کیا, اللہ ہمارے اس پڑھانے کو قبول فرما, پڑھنے کو قبول فرما, اللہ سننے بولنے کو قبول فرما, جو غلطیاں کوتاہیاں ہوئیں اللہ اپنی رحمت سے معاف فرما. یا رب کریم یا اللہ اس سورت کے اوپر ہمیں عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم ہمیں ایمان کو بچانے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم یہ وہ زمانہ ہے یا رب کریم جو ہمارا ایمان خطرے میں ہے. اللہ یہ وہی زمانہ ہے جب آپ کے پیارے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ لوگ صبح میں ایمان کی حالت میں ہوں گے اور رات میں ایمان سے محروم ہوں گے. یا رب کریم ہمیں بڑا ڈر لگتا ہے, اللہ اسی حالت میں ہم گزار رہے ہیں. یا رب کریم ہمارے ایمان کی حفاظت فرما لیجئے. اللہ ہماری مثال اس بچے کی طرح ہے, وہ بچے کے پاس کوئی قیمتی چیز ہوتی ہے, وہ اپنے والد کے پاس آتا ہے کہتے ہیں ابو میرے پاس یہ قیمتی چیز ہے, میں خود اس کی حفاظت نہیں کر سکتا, آپ کو امانت کے طور پہ دیتا ہوں, آپ اس کی حفاظت فرما لیجئے. یا رب کریم ہمارے پاس جو ایمان کی نعمت ہے سب سے قیمتی نعمت ہے, اللہ ہم آپ کو پاس یہ امانت کے طور پہ دیتے ہیں, اللہ ہمارے اس ایمان کی حفاظت فرما, اللہ ہمارے زندگی میں ایمان کی حفاظت فرما, جینا ایمان پہ فرما. اور جب موت کا وقت آئے یا رب کریم ہمیں کلمے پہ موت نصیب فرما, ایمان پہ موت نصیب فرما, اللہ اس حال میں موت نصیب فرما کہ آپ ہم سے راضی ہوں, ہم آپ سے راضی ہوں. یا رب کریم ایک تمنا ہے, یا رب کریم یا اللہ موت کا وقت آئے, اللہ موت آنے سے پہلے, اللہ پہلے آپ ہمیں اپنی رضا عطا فرما دیجئے گا پھر ہمیں موت عطا فرمائے گا. اللہ پہلے اپنی رضا نصیب فرما دی گا, اللہ پھر ہمیں موت عطا فرمائے گا. یا رب کریم یا اللہ اس زمانے کے اندر اللہ ہمارے ایمان کی حفاظت فرما. اللہ جتنے فتنے ہیں, اللہ جو فتنے باہر سے آ رہے ہیں, امت کے باہر سے پیدا ہو رہے ہیں یا امت کے اندر سے پیدا ہو رہے ہیں, اللہ تمام فتنوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اللہ جو عملی فتنے ہیں, جو علمی فتنے ہیں, اللہ جو جس طرح کے بھی فتنے ہیں, یا رب کریم ہمارے ہر قسم کے فتنوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, ہمارے ایمان کی حفاظت فرما. اللہ ہمارے قریبی لوگوں کے ایمان کی حفاظت فرما, ہمارے رشتہ داروں کے ایمان کی حفاظت فرما, ہمارے دوستوں کے ایمان کی حفاظت فرما. یا رب کریم ہمارے نسلوں کے ایمان کی حفاظت فرما. یا رب کریم رحمتوں والا معاملہ فرما. اللہ اپنی رحمتوں سے ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. اللہ رمضان المبارک کا وقت قریب, مہینہ قریب ہے, شعبان کا مہینہ شروع ہو گیا ہے. اللہم بارک لنا فی رجب و شعبان وبلغنا رمضان. اللہ رجب کا مہینہ تو گزر چکا, اللہ اب تو شعبان کا مہینہ گزر رہا ہے. رب کریم اس مہینے کے اندر ہمیں برکت نصیب فرما اور خیریت اور عافیت کے ساتھ ہمیں رمضان کے مہینے تک پہنچا دیجئے. اللہ ہمیں اس رمضان کے مہینے کے اندر اللہ عبادت کی توفیق نصیب فرما, اللہ ہمیں بھی تقوی اور خوب عبادت کرنے کی توفیق ہمیں عطا فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم اس دعا کو پوری امت کے حق میں قبول فرما. اللہ امت پریشان ہے, امت کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. یا رب کریم ایک دفعہ بنی طے کی عورت اچانک نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کے سامنے ننگے سر آ گئی تھی, تو نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نے اپنی مبارک چادر سے اس کا سر ڈھانپ لیا تھا. یا اللہ آج آپ کے پیارے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امت پوری دنیا کے سامنے ننگے سر کھڑی ہوئی ہے. یا رب کریم امت کا سر ڈھانپ لیجئے, اللہ امت کا سر ڈھانپ لیجئے. رب کریم امت کا سر ڈھانپ لیجئے. یا رب کریم جب سب نے آنکھیں کھولی ہیں, اللہ ہم نے امت کی ذلت ہی کو دیکھا ہے. یا رب کریم امت کو پٹتے ہوئے دیکھا ہے, اللہ ہم نے امت کو ذلیل ہوتے ہوئے دیکھا ہے. یا رب کریم اپنی رحمت سے اللہ اپنے دنوں کو بدل دیجئے, زمانے کو ایسا بدل دیجئے کہ یا اللہ ہمیں اب امت کی عزتیں بھی اپنی آنکھوں سے دکھا دیجئے, اللہ امت کی عزتیں بھی ہمیں اپنی آنکھوں سے دکھا دیجئے. یا رب کریم امت کی عزتیں بھی ہمیں آنکھوں سے دکھا دیجئے. یا رب کریم اس امت مسلمہ کی حفاظت فرما, جتنے ایمان والے ہیں جہاں بھی ہیں, اللہ سب کی ایمان کی حفاظت فرما, مال کی حفاظت فرما, عزت و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما. یا رب کریم رحمتوں والا معاملہ فرما, خاص طور پہ جو یتیم ہے اللہ ان کی حفاظت فرما, جو بیوہ ہے ان کی حفاظت فرما, جو کمزور ہے اللہ ان کی حفاظت فرما, اللہ ان کو اپنی مدد اور نصرت شامل حال فرما. اللہ جن کے پاس ایمان نہیں, اللہ ان کو ایمان کی نعمت نصیب فرما, ایمان کی ہدایت کو اللہ عام فرما. یا رب کریم ہدایت کی ہواؤں کو عام تام فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم رحمتوں والا معاملہ فرما دیجئے، ہماری ان دعاؤں کو اپنی رحمتوں سے قبول فرما لیجئے، آنے والے وقت کو گزرے ہوئے وقت سے بہتر فرما، آنے والی زندگی کو گزری ہوئی زندگی کا کفارہ بنا۔ یا رب کریم جو مانگا ہے اللہ، ہمیں تو مانگنے کا طریقہ بھی نہیں آتا، مانگنے کا سلیقہ بھی نہیں آتا، یا رب کریم اپنی رحمت سے ہمیں اپنی شان کریمی کے مطابق عطا فرما دیجئے، اپنے شان رحیمی کے مطابق ہمیں عطا فرما دیجئے۔ یا رب کریم، یا اللہ جو حالات ابھی آئے ہیں بیماری کے، اللہ اس وائرس کو بھی ہم سے دور فرما دیجئے۔ یا رب کریم، بیت اللہ شریف کا مسجدیں بند ہو گئیں، اللہ یوں لگتا ہے کہ آپ ہم سے ناراض ہیں، اللہ یوں لگتا ہے کہ آپ ہم سے ناراض ہیں، مسجدوں کے دروازے بند ہو چکے، طواف بیت اللہ شریف میں رک چکا۔ یا رب کریم ہم آپ کی ناراضگی سے بہت ڈر لگتا ہے، یا رب کریم آپ کو راضی کرنا چاہتے ہیں، اللہ جب آپ ناراض ہوتے ہیں یا رب کریم تو پھر ہر جگہ پریشانیاں پھیل جاتی ہیں، جب آپ ناراض ہوتے ہیں اللہ تو لوگوں کے گھروں کے اندر ان کی عزت کا جنازہ نکل جاتا ہے، سروں سے پگڑیاں اتر جاتی ہیں، سروں سے دوپٹے گر جاتے ہیں۔ یا رب کریم ہمیں آپ کی ناراضگی سے بہت ڈر لگتا ہے، رب کریم اپنی رحمت والا معاملہ فرما دیجئے، اللہ آپ اپنے غصے سے ہمیں اپنی پناہ عطا فرما دیجئے، اللہ آپ ہم سے راضی ہو جائیے، اللہ آپ کو ہم راضی کرنے کے لیے آئے ہیں، اللہ آپ کو راضی کرنا چاہتے ہیں، اللہ ہم سے راضی ہو جائیے، ہماری اس توبہ کو قبول فرما لیجئے اور ہم سے راضی ہو جائیے، اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دیجئے اور ہم سے راضی ہو جائیے، اللہ ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما لیجئے اور ہم سے راضی ہو جائیے۔ یا رب کریم ہمیں اپنی رضا عطا فرما دیجئے، اللہ آپ کو اس وقت تک راضی کرنا ضروری ہے جب تک آپ راضی نہیں ہوتے، اللہ راضی ہو جائیے، کریم مالک راضی ہو جائیے، رحیم مالک راضی ہو جائیے، اے حنان راضی ہو جائیے، اے منان راضی ہو جائیے، اللہ کوئی تو ہوگا جس کے اٹھے ہاتھ آپ کو پسند آ رہے ہوں گے، اللہ کوئی تو ہوگا جس کی توبہ آپ کو اچھی لگ رہی ہوگی، اللہ اس کی توبہ کو قبول فرما لیجئے۔ اللہ نوجوان ہیں، اللہ سب توبہ مانگ رہے ہیں، اللہ آج تو گرم خون بھی معافیاں مانگ رہا ہے، اللہ اگر آپ نے ان کے گناہوں کو معاف نہ فرمایا یا رب کریم تو نفس بھٹکائے گا، شیطان بہکائے گا، اللہ ہماری جوانیاں ضائع ہو جائیں گی، رب کریم ہماری جوانیاں ضائع ہونے سے ہمیں بچا لیجئے، اللہ ہماری توبہ کو قبول فرما لیجئے، ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما لیجئے۔ یا رب کریم یا تو عورتیں بھی گناہ معافی مانگ رہی ہیں، اللہ مرد بھی ہیں عورتیں بھی ہیں، یا رب کریم ہم نے دنیا کے اندر دیکھا ہے کہ اگر کوئی قتل کا مقدمہ ہو اور وہاں عورتیں چل کے آ جائیں، اللہ تو لوگ ان کا لحاظ رکھ لیتے ہیں اور ادب کے مارے، ادب کی وجہ سے اللہ قتل کے مقدموں کو بھی معاف کر دیتے ہیں۔ اللہ یہ آپ کی بندیاں ہیں، اللہ آپ کے سامنے ہاتھ اٹھائے ہوئے ہیں، اللہ ان کے ہاتھوں کو قبول فرما لیجئے، ان کے بدلے ان کے صدقے اللہ ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دیجئے۔ یا رب کریم اپنی رحمتوں والا معاملہ فرما دیجئے، ہماری اس توبہ کو قبول فرما لیجئے اور ہمیں اپنی رضا اور ہمیں اپنی لقاء نصیب فرما دیجئے۔ اللہ ہمیں مانگنا نہیں آتا، اللہ جو مانگا ہے اس سے بہتر عطا فرما دیجئے، جو مانگنا چاہیے تو نہیں مانگ سکے، رب کریم ہمیں وہ بھی نصیب فرما دیجئے۔ ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم وتب علینا انک انت التواب الرحیم وصلی اللہ تعالی علی حبیبہ خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Inshallah, next Wednesday, we're going to start another surah. And inshallah, our theme would be how to prepare for the month of Ramadan. So inshallah, we'll continue this series every Wednesday, same time. And inshallah, we're going to...
start another surah, another topic, inshallah, for next time. جزاكم الله خير وأحسن الجزاء. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, all the recordings will be available online. So we'll ask, inshallah, to all the recordings will be posted on the WhatsApp group, number one. And number two, inshallah, there is a Google Drive where again we're going to put all the recordings for Surah Kahf, so that anyone who wants to listen to the whole series, they can, inshallah, go back and listen. Or if anyone wants to take notes and have their own notes, so inshallah they can listen to the recording and they can write their own notes. In addition to that, if anyone has any questions about Surah Kahf or about anything that we mentioned relevant to Surah Kahf, or even otherwise anything about Deen that you want to ask of Sheikh Mashfara, so inshallah feel free to email us. We're very happy to receive your emails. You should not be hesitant, right? We're very happy to receive your emails. It's not a burden or a bogey upon us in any way. So you can write to us and inshallah we can try to answer your questions. جزاكم الله خيرا. Can we get a Word document of the summary? Kuch kaam aap log bhi kar le. I would request if one of you, they can listen to the recordings and make their notes and maybe share those notes with other people on the WhatsApp group so that everyone can inshallah benefit. Jazakumullah. Alright, inshallah, see you next Wednesday. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.